Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
I will speak on the text of Matthew 1:23. But first, the reading of all things. First Corinthians 4:5, when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the hidden things. It is done. Psalm 145:19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Romans 9:28, the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. John 4:25, when he is come, he will tell us all things. It is done. John 14:26, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. It is done. 2 Timothy 2:7, the Lord give thee understanding in all things. It is done. 1 Corinthians 2:11, God knows the things of concerning God. It is true. Psalm 44:21, he knows the secrets of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible, the AVB. It is truth. Romans 2:16, God shall judge or point out the secrets of men. It is done. Isaiah 3:17, the Lord will discover there the Gentiles' secret parts. It is done. John 7:17, he shall know of the doctrine. He does. He knows of the doctrine of God. Job 34:25 and Job 36:9, he knows their, the Gentiles' works. He knows them, the Gentiles, their work. He shows them, the Gentiles, their work. It is done. John 9:21, he shall speak for himself. I do that. I'm doing this or doing that at this time. Job 12:22, he discovers deep things contained in the AVB. It is done. Job 28:11, he brings forth things hid in the AVB. It is done. Daniel 2:22, he reveals the deep and secret things. That is what I do. Daniel 2:29, he that reveals secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. He makes known his judgments. It is done. John 16:13, he will show you things to come. His judgments are the judgments. It is done. Isaiah 40:1, he brings forth judgment to the Gentiles. It is done. Isaiah 53:11, he brings forth the Gentiles' iniquities. It is done. Isaiah 30:18, the Lord is a God of judgment. It is truth. Job 37:4, his voice is heard. It is truth. Proverbs 2:6, the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It is truth. Hosea 8:13, he will remember there the Gentiles' iniquity. It is done. Hosea 9:9, he will visit there the Gentiles' sins. It is done. Psalm 53:6, God brings back the captivity of his people. It is done. Psalm 14:7, the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. It is done. Psalm 98:2, the Lord has made known his salvation. It is so. Psalm 98:2, he has openly showed his righteousness. It is done. Psalm 37:6, he shall bring forth thy, the Gentiles' righteousness. It is done. I have brought forth the law called Moses, the people's law. 1 Samuel 2:3, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. It is truth. Proverbs 29:24, he hears cursing and reveals it. It is done. Luke 9:26, he appears in his own glory. It is truth. John 9:16, he does not keep or observe the Sabbath. It is truth. Acts 10:6, he shall tell thee, the people, what thou art to do. It is done. Joel 2:32, he calls the remnant of his people. It is truth. Psalm 1:2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. It is truth. Isaiah 33:8, he regardeth no man. It is truth. John 7:4, he himself seeks to be known openly. It is truth. Job 21:22, he judges those that are high. It is done. Leviticus 26:10, he brings forth the old. It is done. And now I will read the commandment coming from the Lord. commandment coming from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Starting September 1, 2012, and continuing every month thereafter, everyone 22 years of age and older shall send to the Lord their God, Tommy L. Hart, a check or money order in the amount of $30, payable to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. All checks and money orders should be received by the Lord by the 15th of each month. Feel free to offer more than the specified amount. You may also pay for months in advance. Example, make a year's offering in one single offering. State your intention. Send your check or money order to the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, Post Office Box 983, Hepzibah, Georgia 30815. That is Hepzibah, Hepzibah, Georgia 30815. In the preceding episode, I asked, is Mary spoken of in Luke 2:7 and Matthew 1:24 through 25, the woman spoken of in Isaiah 7:14? Does Mary, the mother of Jesus, fulfill the bill for or meet the requirements of Isaiah 7:14 version? Who it is said would conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. To put it succinctly, is Mary Isaiah's version. I gave this statement. Mary, the mother of Jesus, does not fill the bill for, she does not meet the requirements of, the woman spoken of in Isaiah 7:14. Mary and her son, Jesus, are not, and I repeat, are not the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. And why not? Well, because Mary does not meet or fulfill all the terms of Isaiah 7:14. Reason being, prefectorially, and it is so obvious, it's almost laughable that Isaiah says she shall call his name Emmanuel, whereas according to the records of Luke 2:20 and Matthew 1:25, Mary's son is called Jesus. And there is no mention of him ever being called Emmanuel by anyone. But that is prefatory. We must dig deeper. But first I want to speak on the first statement in Isaiah 7:14. It says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Since this series began, I have left that statement out. But Matthew 1:23 also omits it. Why? The statement about the Lord in Isaiah 7:14 is not a part of that which follows in the verse. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Who is the Lord? Has he given a sign? If so, what is the sign? First question, who is the Lord? We all should know the answer to that question. Tommy L. Hart is the Lord. I, Tommy O. Hart, am the Lord, the AVB's Lord and God. And have I given you a sign? At the beginning of this program, this hour, I gave a sign of the Lord. Matter of fact, I gave more than one sign. I gave many signs. The signs I read in the reading of all things. So what does that tell us? I'm the Lord God. I have given you a sign plus many others. Well, that tells us this, that the first statement in Isaiah 7:14, which says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, has been fulfilled. It has already been fulfilled in me, yours truly, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. So, remember, that statement has been fulfilled. You heard the reading of all things at the beginning of this program, this hour. That statement, the Lord will give you a sign, is already fulfilled in me, the present speaker, the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. All right, now, let's get to Matthew 1:23. I will turn to it in my Bible. And again, I remind you, pay attention, take heed. The Bible says, the AVB says, take heed that you be not deceived. Take heed that you be not deceived. In other words, by listening, by taking heed, paying special or careful attention to me, and by accepting that which I give and that which I have already given you, you will be deceived no longer. Take heed that you be not deceived. Stop the state. Change. You can change your state now if you haven't already done it by listening to me. You can change from being deceived to one who knows the present truth. Take heed that you be not deceived. Okay, so I have turned to Matthew 1:23, and let me put a marker at Isaiah 7:14. You may do the same thing. So let me continue here. I am looking at Matthew 1:23, and I have marked Isaiah 7:14. Now, listen at this. Zechariah 4:2. I'm turning to that quickly. Zechariah 4:2 says this. It asks me a question. The question it asks is, what seest thou? Okay? I will answer that question later. I will answer the question set in Zechariah 4:2, asking me, what seest thou? What do I see? Okay, now, I see, well, it looks like I begin answering it now, but I will give a statement on it also later. I see three things in Matthew 1:23 that are inconsistent with the virgin statement in Isaiah 7:14. I ask you, how many do you see? How many inconsistencies do you see in Matthew 1:23? Things that are inconsistent with Isaiah 7:14. Do you see one? Do you see two? Do you see three? Are you looking at the statement, if at all possible? Are you paying careful attention? Have you underlined the inconsistencies that you see in Matthew 1:23? If not, do so now. It will only take a moment. Okay. From the outset, Matthew 1:23 looks so right. It says, behold, a virgin shall. But after that, the statement goes awry. Inconsistency number one says, be with child. Isaiah 7:14 says, conceive. As I stated the last time, shall conceive and be with child do not mean, do not suggest, or imply the same thing. So, be with child is inconsistency number one in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Did you underline be with child? Did you get inconsistency number one correct? The next statement in Matthew 1:23 says, and shall bring forth a son. Did you underline, quote, and shall bring forth a son, unquote? No. Well, neither did I. Isaiah says, and shall bear a son, and Matthew says, and shall bring forth a son. Bring forth is a definition under the word bear. Therefore, quote, and shall bring forth a son, unquote, is acceptable. Where is inconsistency number two? So far, I have pointed out two inconsistent terms in Matthew 1:23. They are, one, inconsistency number one, be with child, and now, inconsistency number two. What says the next statement in Matthew 1:23? The next statement in Matthew 1:23 says, quote, says this, quote, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel." There it is. There is inconsistency number two. Do you see it? Did you underline it? What is it? How many words does it consist of? What does the inconsistency say? I will tell you what I underlined. To mark the inconsistent part, I underlined one word. How many did you underline? The word that I underlined is the word, the pronoun, they. T-H-E-Y. Matthew 1:23 says, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel." But Isaiah says, and I quote, "And shall call his name Emmanuel," unquote. The pronoun they in Matthew 1:23 is inconsistent with that in Isaiah 7:14. Did you get inconsistency number two correct? Did you get number one correct? We have identified two inconsistent statements thus far in Matthew 1:23. Is there a third? We are about to run out of material in Matthew 1:23. Do you see a third inconsistency? Have you underlined anything else in Matthew 1:23? The statement in Isaiah 7:14 is already finished. Matthew says this, which being interpreted is God with us. And that is inconsistency number three. The addition of, quote, which being interpreted is God with us, end of quote. Did you get that correct? Did you underline, quote, which being interpreted is God with us, end of quote? I must admit that statement, which being interpreted is God with us, that statement seems so harmless. It seems so innocent. Seems like it was made to go with Isaiah 7:14. Ever necessary clarification. It is not an innocent addition. It is damaging in its effect on the mind. And it is a violation of a fundamental rule which says, do not add to, do not take away, a rule which applies to us as well as Bible characters. I wonder, how many of the three inconsistencies did you identify and underline? Did anyone identify and underline all three? I must say this. If for inconsistency number two, you underlined the complete statement, which says, quote, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel," end of quote, that would be correct. One may ask, well, what about Matthew's first letter in Emmanuel, being an East rather than an I, as is the case in Isaiah's statement. Well, a misspelling as such is acceptable in that it does not change anything. One would still pronounce it the same as he/she would pronounce it looking at the Isaiah statement. And if both are properly pronounced, the Emmanuel in Matthew 1:23 and the Emmanuel in Isaiah 7:14, listen, the ear cannot discern a difference. So the misspelling of Emmanuel in Matthew 1:23 is acceptable. It does not change anything. In reading, in hearing, you still get the intended effect. Question. So, what do we learn from the three inconsistencies in Matthew 1:23? Answer. From the three inconsistencies in Matthew 1:23, we learn that Matthew, listen, 1:23 is a perverted statement. It is an iniquitous statement. It carries no weight. Listen, it is unusable. It must be rejected. I will read that statement again because it is so important. From the three inconsistencies in Matthew 1:23, we learn that Matthew 1:23, the complete statement in Matthew 1:23, is a perverted statement. It is an iniquitous statement. It carries no weight. It is unusable. It must be rejected. Matthew 1:23 does not correspond with Isaiah 7:14. Now, let me read some instructions having to do with what are having to do with my conclusions here. Number one, Deuteronomy chapter 4:2. All right, Deuteronomy 4:2 says this. Ye shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. Did you get that? The don't add, don't take away rule. Ye shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. Next statement, Deuteronomy 12:32. That statement says this. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Listen to this. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. You shall not add to, nor take away. Thou shalt not add thereto, not diminish from it. Next statement, Joshua 1:7. Joshua 1:7, we find these words. I'll read the complete statement. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Listen, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The statement, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. You shall not add to nor take away. That was Deuteronomy 4. You shall not. That was Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add to the word, neither diminish off. And 12, Deuteronomy 12:32. Thou shalt not add thereto, not diminish from it. Joshua 1:7. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. And next, Proverbs 30, verse 6. Proverbs 30, verse 6. Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Again. Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And next is Revelation 22:18, all the way to the end of the Bible. Very close, just a few statements away from the last verse. Revelation 22:18 says this. For I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. The phrase, this book, what is it in reference to? Is it in reference to this book of Revelation? I say, yes, it is. And much more. The phrase, this book, in Revelation 22:18, is a reference to this book, the AVB, the Authorized Version Bible. Yes. I'm reading from the Authorized Version Bible. The phrase, this book, is a reference to itself. Itself, the AVB, the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James. So, it says what? I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. So it is clear in Scripture that you are commanded not to add to the sacred word, and you are commanded not to take away from the sacred word. So that's what happened. That's what has happened in one of the things that has happened that I pointed out in Matthew 1:23. The final statement in Matthew 1:23 that seems so harmless and may even seem so right, so good, but it is so bad. It is evil, and it is in violation of the fundamental rule that says do not add to the sacred word and do not diminish from the sacred word. Now, for the characters in the New Testament, their sacred word was or is, however you want to say it, the Old Testament. Just as it is for us. But we have a New Testament also, don't we? We have more. You know what? Let me turn to the beginning of Matthew, the last of Malachi. At the end of Malachi, I have a page that simply says New Testament. And nothing is on the back of it, but that's all that it said. New Testament on the front side, and its back side has nothing on it. New Testament from, between the last statement in Malachi and the first statement in Matthew. If you didn't know any better, you would think that Scripture continues as it has been doing. So at the end of Malachi, and into the beginning of Matthew. With that one page in my Bible, you know, that only has on it front and back, well, just on the front side, nothing on the back side, it only has the New Testament. But it doesn't have the New Testament. It only has New Testament. That's all. And then, Matthew chapter 1. Yes. If I didn't know any better, I would think the narrative continues from Malachi 1. Mm-hmm. You too? Okay. Point being, with that being the case as it is, there's that page there. It's suggestive of, like a lot of time, lapsing between the last statement in Malachi and the first statement in Matthew. It gives a feel like a lot of time has passed. Not necessarily so. The narrative just continues. But they have put the separation there, like the Old Testament came to an end, you know, with the final statement in Malachi. The Old Testament ended. And then there's this, I don't know how much time, and then the New Testament begins. But the narrative at the end of Matthew, at the end of Malachi, continues into Matthew 1:1 and onward. It continues. Men may say, you know, there's a gap of X number of years, this and that, this and that. Not important at all. Not important at all. Whether it's a gap or whether the narrative continues, which I think the narrative continues. It says what? The last commandment in Malachi 4. It says, remember ye the law of Moses. Are you with me in this? Are you remembering the law of Moses? Especially now that I've brought it to your attention, because I've said this before. I read that statement, I believe, in the first part of this series, speaking on the gospel. If I didn't read it in the first, I know I read it in the second one. But some of you have heard it before. And then that was not my first time bringing the statement forward or forth. I've done it before. Are you studying Lawmaster's archives? All that knowledge there, all that wisdom, all that understanding there in Lawmaster's archives, the archives of the Lord God Almighty, Tommy L. Hart. All that knowledge there for you. And it's easy, because I've already done the work. You don't have to try to figure anything out. Just receive the teaching. That's all. Just receive and love the teaching. That's all you have to do. And guess what? You will have understanding of the Bible. That's the thing. That's the thing. Understanding. Isn't that what Proverbs said? And I know I'm getting off track, but this is important. This is important. Actually, I have finished with Matthew 1:21. I may give a conclusion statement there, but I'm finished with it for right now. Not to say that I won't mention it again or bring it up again. I'm pretty sure I will. But all that treasure there, all that. Let me turn to Proverbs and see what Proverbs says. Remind us of what Proverbs said. But bear in mind, though, about that. That is big news, what I said, what I brought forth about Matthew 1:23. That is big, big, big exclamation point, three times or more news. Ah, yes, that's big news. Mm-hmm. Somebody is lying to somebody. The church world is lying. The church is operating in iniquity, teaching iniquitous things, teaching things it ought not to teach. And some of them talking about they are sharing the splendor of truth. It is terrible what they are doing. And we all should be outraged at what the church is doing. Preaching lies, misleading, misdirecting the people. Back to Proverbs. Proverbs 4 says this: get wisdom, get understanding. That's what I teach. That's what I do. I give wisdom. I read that in all things, didn't I? At the reading of all things at the outset of this program, this episode here. The Lord gives knowledge. Listen, get wisdom. Get understanding. It's so easy for you to get it, people. Listen to me. Listen to me, people. Listen to me, black people. Listen to me, period. It's so easy. There is no excuse now. You don't, if you are yet deceived, I'm talking to you. If you are yet deceived, it's your fault. It's your fault. You who listen to me should not be deceived anymore. Now, what does that mean? That means that if you are part of the church world, you shouldn't be in it any longer. Really? Let's talk truth. Let's talk facts. Because the difference in what I teach and what the church teaches is different as night and day. Different as cold and hot, huh? Heat and cold. It's different. Obviously different. You should no longer be deceived. The statement I read earlier, take heed that you be not deceived. Because when you hear my teaching, it has the power. You can change. Let's just put it simple as that. You can change by making a deliberate decision. This what the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, is teaching. This is right. This is right. And I see so clearly through his teaching that the church world, the church teaches lies. According to what? According to the Authorized Version Bible. Now there's a right and there's a wrong. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right to a man. You know, just like the statement that we looked over today that says at the end of in Matthew 21:23, that says, which being interpreted is God with us. It can seem so right. It clarifies the name, Emmanuel. Maybe and maybe not. Maybe and maybe not. The point is, it's an addition. And the word, those few scriptures I read, the rule, the Bible rule is, don't add and don't take away. Are you obedient? Are you obedient? Or do you still think that the statement in Matthew 1:23 is good and right and proper as the church teaches it? If you still think that, something is wrong with you. Something is wrong. Three inconsistencies. But get wisdom. Get wisdom. What is that saying? That's saying get what the Lord Tommy L. Hart is giving you. That's what that statement says in its essence. Because there's a statement that says this. It says this in Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So when I go to Proverbs 4:5, and I see get wisdom, well, it just told me in chapter 2, wisdom comes from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. Yes, I added my name. I added my name. Listen to this. Let's go back to chapter 4, Proverbs 4. Proverbs 2, verse 6. Listen, I will read it. For the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Yes, I added my name. Am I in violation of those of the don't add, don't take away rule? Am I in violation? No, I am not. The last statement in Matthew 1:23 saying, which being interpreted is God with us, is in violation of the don't add, don't take away rule. But I am not in violation when I add my name to Lord and to God and to Lord God. I'm not in violation. You need, the Bible asks me, it asks me, what is your name? What do I do with that? I am to make the application. Because if I don't, no one will know who the Lord is. He will tell you all things when he comes. I tell you my name. I add my name. Why? Because it is necessary that I add my name for your sake, that you may know who the Lord is in your Bible. It's a necessary addition. It asks me my name. I am to apply it. And I do. Yes. Okay. So we're clear on that. We're clear on that. That the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, is not in violation in adding his name to Lord and God, Lord God, etc. If there's any other. He is not in violation. Because he is giving what he has been asked to give. That is his name. He will identify himself. The Bible asked me several times throughout itself, who art thou? What is your name? Where are you? What is your occupation? And other things as well. That's me. So it wants that information. Not only for itself, but for the people's benefit. So they may know who the Lord is. That's why the Bible tells you, know ye that the Lord God, let me turn to that, Psalm 100. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. How can you do that if you don't know who the Lord is? Listen, serve the Lord with gladness. How can you serve him and you don't know who he is? He isn't your preacher. He isn't the Pope. Come before his presence with singing. How can you come before the Lord and you don't know who he is? Listen, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Know ye that the Lord, who is the Lord? And that's a question. In Proverbs chapter 30, who is the Lord? So that's a necessary addition. Okay? It's just a necessary thing. Obviously necessary that I apply my name to Lord and to God. Obviously, an obvious necessity. But get wisdom. Let's go back. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, love wisdom. Who gives wisdom? The Lord God, Tommy L. Hart, gives wisdom, knowledge and understanding. Remember these two things. Mary and her son Jesus do not match the Virgin and her son Emmanuel. that is Matthew 1:23 does not match Isaiah 7:14. It's a no match. And Matthew 1:23 does not correspond with Isaiah 7:14. Matthew 1:23 is a perverted statement. It is a perversion of Isaiah 7:14. Remember this and tell everybody you know about it. Tell everyone who you know about this. Amazing information coming from the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. The three inconsistencies in Matthew 1:23. And they preach that. Not the inconsistent. Well, they preach the statement. They preach both Matthew 1:23 and Isaiah 7:14 every year at a certain time. And you know what that certain time is. All of that is outlawed. Outlawed by the AVB. Outlawed by the Word of God. Religion is outlawed. Christianity is outlawed. Christianity is an evil. Can you see that? Teaching lies. Teaching lies. Basing a religion on lies. But that's what the church does, isn't it? That's what the Christian ministers do. They tell lies. They teach lies. And some say they are sharing the splendor of truth. It's a shame. It's a shame what they do. But I love the truth. I love the truth. Do you love the truth? If so, join me the next time. Check my page daily. Check it daily. Yes, sometimes I go sometimes days without putting up a description or whatever, but check it. Just keep checking. And stay with me. Stay with the Lord your God, Tommy L. Hart. Join me next time.